So this morning in our prayer time, and I'd love to encourage everyone, try it, be here just before 8:30 and be amongst us in our prayer time as we seek the Lord for today, what He desires, how He wants it to go. And this morning, a common thread came out about dynamite being explosive, man, you know? And I was laughing as people were talking because today's message title is Become Dangerous Again. Because John 10 verse 10, Jesus speaking, and we're going to focus on the second part, but I'm going to give the whole verse. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is the part we're going to focus on. But I have come that you may have life and life in abundance. And that abundant life is such a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Once you catch it and once you run with it, you are such a threat to Satan and his plans. And as you sit here this morning, we are all a stick of TNT. And if we are put together, we can blow up mountains. We can blow up mountains. And so I just want to start off with what the abundant life is not. Jesus didn't sacrifice his life. He didn't suffer on a cross so that the extent of your abundant life is being able to say, I sit on that same chair, row 3, seat 2, every week. He didn't die for that to be the limitation of your abundant life. He didn't die so that the abundant life for you is just scraping through life until the end. That is not his plan, that is not his will for you. Jesus isn't describing a barely surviving, running on empty Christian life. We shouldn't settle for that. Regardless of circumstance or environment, we shouldn't settle for what is around us. We should desire the more, and the more is not necessarily physical things. I'm not referring to that. The abundant life is not about things, but your relationship with Him. And so Jesus isn't saying, I came so you could just scrape through. He says, I came that you may have life. When we look at the original Greek for the word abundant or abundance there, it's perissos. Okay? I'm not talking about that you throw in your chicken. Not that one. It's a different one. Perissos, the Greek word, it means, it talks about an overflowing. Okay? Something that goes beyond what is needed. That is the abundant life Jesus came so that we could have. And the question is, are we operating in that? Because He saved you to have life. He saved you to become a testimony. He saved you to walk in Him. He saved you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To overcome sin. To bear fruit. To know Him. To be a testimony. To carry His presence. To operate in the gifts He has given you. To bring other people to Jesus. That is the abundant life. And when you start to pursue it, when you just take that first step and receive Him as Lord and Savior, the intention of your mind already makes you a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Just the fact that you're starting to consider serving the Lord arms you to become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. A Christian who doesn't care about their flesh, who has died to their flesh, is a weapon of mass destruction in the kingdom of God. Because Satan is thinking, I can't entice him with things. I can't entice her with things. So you are such a threat when you operate in that. The Bible isn't just giving rules. I'm sorry if you see it that way, that the Bible is just this book of rules. It's an operating manual from your manufacturer telling you how to work optimally. giving you your capacity and the atmosphere or that's not a word. The framework in which to operate. That's what the Bible is. It's fine-tuning you to be all that you can be. And I'm quoting the army now. But it's fine-tuning you to become so dangerous that the enemy trembles when you walk into it. I read of people of old who have come through the centuries. I think of someone like Smith Wigglesworth who just walked into a room and people start confessing sin. Because he carried the presence of the Lord. He was such a weapon of destruction for the kingdom of God that Satan feared him. And we need to be that. And I guess the question I'm trying to say is, do you think the enemy is afraid of you? Right now, as you sit here, are you a threat to the kingdom of darkness? And if you don't feel that way, I can guarantee you, you have the potential to be a threat. Let's start there. You carry the potential to be a threat, and it depends on the decisions that you are about to make. And so I just want to go into two areas of what the abundant life looks like. There's many more, but I want to focus on these two. And the first one is a surrendered life. In order to be a danger to the kingdom of Satan, you need to be surrendered to the kingdom of God. The abundant life begins with, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Once you start thinking like that, there's alarm bells going off somewhere in the donkerte. Because I no longer have a grip on this person. Sure. This person is starting to think differently. I need to do something about it. And so Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Alright? So he understood the surrendered life. That's why Paul was such a danger to the kingdom of darkness. And just to give you encouragement, Paul wasn't always Paul. Paul was Saul once upon a time. Saul was the one directing the deaths of those who believed in Jesus Christ. Overseeing it. Standing there holding the coats while people were stoning Stephen. And probably satisfied in his heart when it took place. But somewhere something changed in him. And we know the road to Damascus, but inside of him, a surrender took place. And suddenly he became such a threat to the kingdom of darkness. He became dangerous. And mind you, he wasn't a pagan, he was a religious person. And God can transform us from being religious to being dangerous. Because there's a difference between the two. The world says, find yourself. Jesus says, lose yourself in me. The flesh says, do what makes you happy. Jesus says, follow me. I've mentioned this a few times and I'll mention it 100 times probably still in times to come. One of the commandments in the book of Satan, in the satanic Bible, is do as thou wilt. Do what you want. That's one of the commandments for Satanists. And unfortunately, how often do people in the kingdom still have that mindset? Just do what you want. It's okay. The world enforces that, encourages that. Just do what you want. It's all about pleasure. It's all about just having what you want. And that's the opposite of a surrendered life. And that is how you are neutralized. That is how you are disarmed as a dangerous weapon. The pin is removed. Someone said me something the other day and I thought it was so apt for this. Dennis, my massacre from AM. Yes, yeah, I love Dennis, man. I love Dennis. He has so much faith. And he said me something, I'm just going to read it. A man once asked, what do you gain by regularly praying to God? The man replied, "Nothing. But let me tell you what I lost. I lost my ego. I lost anger. I lost greed. I lost depression. I lost fear. I lost insecurity." Sometimes the answer to our prayer is not gaining, but losing, which ultimately is gaining. That's a surrendered life. And we struggle, and it's okay because we are growing. We come into the kingdom sometimes though with an earthly mindset, but we are growing, we are maturing, and we constantly may be looking for, what do I get out of this? What are you going to add to me? But losing yourself is actually adding to yourself in the kingdom of God. The math is dear mekaar in the kingdom. 1 + 1 = 89 today. 1 + 1 = 3 tomorrow. That's the kingdom. We're always relying on the Holy Spirit. Always relying on the Holy Spirit. And so when I surrender, something powerful happens. Christ begins to live through me. When you start to surrender, it's like a glass. When you're tipping out a bit, you're making room for Him that He can add. You need to reach a point where you empty out everything so that He can fill you with everything of Him. Less of me, more of Him. There was a beautiful hymn when I was young. We sang that, less, and then eventually you sing all of Him and none of me. So a surrendered life is key to being this weapon of mass destruction, to being this danger to the kingdom of darkness. Second one is an intimate life with Christ. This is key to becoming dangerous to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of darkness. Sorry. An abundant life isn't just about what God can do for me. It's about knowing God Himself. An abundant life is not about what, not just about what God can do for me, but it's about knowing God Himself. There's a big difference between the two. Your prayer, your worship, the word, your secret time, listening, obeying, repenting, walking with Him. The abundant Christian isn't simply somebody who knows about God. It's someone who knows God. There's a difference between the two. You can quote scripture until kingdom come. Yes, it's a thing. But that kingdom comes. But if you don't have a relationship with God, it's hollow. And it's a lesson I had to learn in my first few years. I was very legalistic. I knew a lot of scripture and that, but I didn't have the connection with God. I didn't have the relationship. When you know scripture and you don't carry love, you become critical. You can point out everything that's wrong according to scripture, but you lack the grace to lessen that divide. So be careful of that. And yeah, the intimacy is something that Satan has attacked from the beginning. Okay? The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, it was the intimacy that he attacked, because there was a danger in this intimate relationship between God and Adam and Eve. And so things happen, which we all know, and I'm not going to go into all of that today. But the design was to break or to sever the intimacy. And ever since, this love story called the Bible is God pursuing us to return to that intimacy, giving us His Son so we have a way back into that intimacy, equipping us to the point that He gives His Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we can have that intimacy. Intimacy is so key to this. It's so key to you being a danger. Okay? And it's what Satan wants to take away from you. So the strategy hasn't changed. Still the same. The enemy still wants to put something between you and God. Rejection, brokenness, disappointment, the environment, the circumstances I lived in. I think we all ask here, hoe kom het ek in die familie gebore? We all had that one somewhere along the line. We have all these things that separate us from God when we choose to focus on these things. And Satan knows a believer who is walking in intimacy with God is such a threat to his agenda. Preserve and protect that intimacy. Not just preserve it, but nurture it to grow more. And that's how you become potent. That's how you become dunamos. That's how you become the power of God on this earth. Okay? And so, why is the abundant life a threat? Because the abundant life never just stays inside of you. It overflows. Literally what the word means. Perisos, to overflow, to go beyond what is needed. So when you walk in it, it overflows. It affects your partner. It affects your marriage. It affects your children. It impacts everyone that you come in surrounding with. When you catch this, when you walk in this abundance of life, not a full bank account, the abundance of life, which is yours. I think, Stephen, that image of the elephant, please. And it's something we, I think most of us know. Elephants in captivity, a chain is put around one of their legs when they are young, and they're unable to move. Over the years, their mindsets change, or well, remains the same. Even though they are massive and they can snap that chain if they choose to, mentally they have been conditioned to think, I can't. So that tiny chain holds that elephant, that powerhouse, static. Doesn't move, it doesn't consider it, because it is bound in its mind by that chain. And it's the same thing with us. If Satan would love for us to sit here and think that this is it for you, that life can't get better than this, or for some that life is good and I don't want it to get better than this. Friday night I was in Karicha with the combustion kids, or 25 of them. Yes, man. And I looked at them and I spoke to them and I said, you guys don't even know the potential that you have sitting here. You are such a threat to Satan. You are such a threat. If you get it right at that age, your whole life is going to look different. Who you choose as a partner is going to look very different. Saving yourself for your marriage, being pure, is going to be a value in your life. Chances are your child is going to grow up in this environment as well. So you're setting up the generations that must still come by the choices you make. That's the potential danger that you carry. That you, there's warriors that are going to come through your lineage because you chose right. Because you chose to surrender your life. Because you chose a life of intimacy with Him. It's not just about you. It's about those that must still come through you. That's why you are dangerous. That's why this walk is such a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You look at Lazarus' life, and we're just going to read John 12, verse 11. So we know the story. Lazarus died. It was 4 days dead. You can imagine what you smell like after 4 days dead. You can imagine after not washing for 2 days, you can imagine 4 days dead. And Jesus calls him out of the tomb, the tomb. Anyhow, so after this, now the Jews have a problem with him. Because he's a living, walking testimony of the power of God. And he said, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Because of his testimony, he was carrying the abundant life. And I'm sure Lazarus never kept it to himself. So now here's this walking advertisement board for the kingdom of God that no one can deny what happened to this person. And so people will start asking Lazarus, me bro, what happened to you? Right? And so the same thing for us today. Why are you so different? I can promise you in the 10 years that I'm born again, I get that once a month. Yo, I can't believe this is the same you. Suddenly I'm gentle. Suddenly I have love. Suddenly I'm compassionate. Suddenly I'm considering others before myself. Don't, if you poke me, the word comes out of me. Then chokes after that. But what I'm trying to say is, I thoroughly believe I am a threat. I am a danger to Satan. I will never forget, I once had a vision which was so clear. It felt so real. And there was this demonic woman standing there, and she said, Satan is not happy that he doesn't have you anymore. He wants you back. That was like year two, year three of being born again. And now I understand, when I was preparing this, the Lord reminded me of that. Right? You, each of us here, is such a danger to Satan. I want you to see yourself. I want you to know your worth in the kingdom of God. We might not all become preachers and lead congregations, but you are just as dangerous in the assignment that God has given you, in the workplace He has put you in. Ons klaar van hier, hoe lang moet ek nog met die plek werk? But the Lord has you there for a reason. Do these people even know that you are born again? Of lag jy vir dieselfde jokes wat hulle voorlag? Maak jy die jokes wat hulle voorlag? But can they see there's something different about you? That you are carrying this dunamos, that you are carrying this power of God. That suddenly the same people that used to make fool of me after I got born again were the same people sending me WhatsApp messages, don't you want to pray for me? Don't you want to pray for my child? Because they saw the consistency in my life. It went just further and further in with the Lord. And then you become, and people recognize that. And that is why you are a danger. And I encourage you, don't blow out in cold. They won't recognize you as a danger. And so I want to go into three strategies that Satan uses to disarm you as a threat to his works. And I'm going to use three examples of people so that we can relate to them. Satan cannot stop Jesus from being Jesus. He can't. Okay. But he will try to stop you from becoming everything Jesus intended you to be. There's a verse that says, abhor evil. In other words, hate evil. I hate evil. And I know evil hates me. And that's lekker. Because it means I will never be in a relationship with evil. Because you are my enemy and I am your enemy. So we can never be friends. That keeps me on the right side of things. I love that he's constantly trying to find a way into my life. Trying to find a way to into my marriage or into my children. I love it because what he does is so simple. I weet en sien, he's sharpening me. Every time I come up against him, I grow. So I thank you and I welcome it because it grows me in the Lord. I kneel before the Lord more because I haven't faced this before. Lord, what do I do here? Oh, thank you. And I grow in more confidence. He's not breaking me. He's actually building me. He's making me stronger by what he's bringing in my way. And that is what I see challenges as. There's a verse in Hebrews, I think it's in 12, and it's part of strengthen your weak knees. In other words, when he popped this, man, you're serving a living God. The same power, in this verse, the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside of you. Yes. Have you ever turned that all the way up? Sure. Have you experienced that yet? There's more after two. That's what's a microwave. There's more than medium. They call it warm, Mark. Mark it warm. Serve him. Turn it all the way up. Yeah. My cause for him. All right. So the first one is Cain. Genesis 4 verse 6 to 7. And Satan attempted, and actually got it right, to silence him through offense and bitterness. And that's still a danger to us. His attempt to disarm us is through offense and bitterness. So something didn't go the way Cain expected it to go. We both know that, we all know they both gave their sacrifice, their offerings, and Abel's was received well. Alright? So something didn't go the way he expected it to go. I think we can all relate to that. If you lived enough decades on this earth, there's things that didn't go the way you expected it to go. I was hoping to comb my hair this morning. Life happened, didn't go the way I expected it to go. Alright? So, but my response to it is different. But Cain's response to what happened, something that happened the way it didn't happen the way he expected it to go, was anger and resentment and jealousy. And so in verse 6 we read, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it.'" Right? God is so amazing, and this is before he killed Abel, that God comes and warns him. God comes and speaks to him because he's struggling with this thing. And as we stand here today, what is the Lord still speaking to you about? An expectation that wasn't fulfilled, that you have not yet processed. Is the Lord speaking to you about it? Are you hearing him about it? Because he's warning you before you do something, when you act on that thing, and the damage it might cause to your life and to someone else's. And so God says, why are you angry? We just said it earlier. You're going to go to a psychologist and he's going to ask you that same thing and charge you 1,200 rand. God does it for free. So God is tapping into Cain and he wants Cain to do some introspection. He wants Cain to think about why he's feeling this way. And that's for all men here and women, but I want to talk to the men on the sidebar note here. This one's for free. God wants you to process your feelings. God wants you to process your feelings. Why am I angry? Because that's more in men than in women. Not angry, it can be any emotion, but to Cain it was this. This is what he struggled. And so God knows the answer. He's not asking Cain so Cain can inform him. God's asking him so that he can get enlightened. Ah, it didn't. There was an opportunity to make right. He chose not to take that path. And God warns him, sin is crouching at your door. The imagery is of an animal ready to pounce. That is sin. Sin isn't just sitting back next to a pool and waiting, let me go chase after him. He's sitting, pouncing at the door. As soon as you open that door, sin is jumping through. That's how hectic it is. So we need to be in control of ourselves. Self-control, last fruit of the Spirit mentioned, but it's not the least. Okay. Satan wants to take something that happened to you and turn it into something that begins to control you. That's what happens with unfulfilled expectation. Disappointment or unmet expectation becomes resentment. Resentment becomes anger. Anger becomes bitterness. And that bitterness can become hatred. And the end result of that is destruction. whether you implode or whether you explode. That's the end of this process. And somebody hurt you, now you carry it. Someone offended you, now you replay it. Someone disappointed you, now you've built walls. And Satan disarms you just like that. Doesn't have to take you out of your faith. It just has to neutralize you. Because now your focal point is this thing that you can't deal with. So yeah, he removes the threat. And in that, this unity starts to form. There was this unity between Cain and Abel. This unity is such a strong weapon of Satan. It disarms us as a power unit in a corporate setting. Second one, Saul. And I'm not talking about Saul, became Paul. Saul, King Saul, the first king. And 1 Samuel 18:7. And they used to sing, Saul has struck down his thousands and David's his 10,000s. Okay? And suddenly, something inside of Saul was awakened. If you understand Saul and read through everything, he already had things that he didn't deal with. So this one just added to that. And so he started comparing himself to David. Right? And that was the mistake. And just think about how tragic this is. Saul had a kingdom to lead, but he became obsessed with somebody else's success. He led a whole kingdom, but this thing bothered him. It actually bothered him to the point that he became obsessed with this thing. And so the enemy can disarm or remove the threat you pose by getting you to focus on what God is doing through somebody else. And that's a dangerous space to be in. Why can't I be like that? We call him Diana. It's a danger. Satan is just disarming you. As a weapon for God, he's just disarming you. So instead of, Lord, use me, you start asking why them. Instead of celebrating another person's blessings, you resent it. Instead of pursuing your assignment, you compare yourself with theirs. Our assignments are not the same. Comparison is going to take you down a dangerous road. And suddenly your calling is being consumed by comparison. Third one is Esau. He was silenced through temporary desire. And we all know he gave away his inheritance for a plate of food. And we think that is so foolish. I would never do that. How many mighty people of God has fallen to a moment of pleasure, of sexual sin, still happens today. It's because we don't recognize who we are and the potential that we carry, the inheritance that we have received, the power that we walk in, the weapons that we are. When we don't recognize that as our identity, we're willing to throw it away for a moment in something else. That thing of Esau is still operating. And he exchanged his inheritance for his appetite. And there's a warning for us, don't go down this road. You've been given such a beautiful inheritance in the Lord. Don't throw it away for an appetite that you have. Whether that appetite is laziness, whether that appetite is pleasure, whether that appetite is even religion. Don't throw your inheritance in the Lord away for a temporary moment. And Hebrews 12:17, King James Version says, for you know that afterward when he, this is Esau, wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And a lot of scholars believe that he wasn't seeking repentance. That's why he was crying. He was crying because of his loss. He lost the inheritance. And that was his tears. And so I want to talk quickly about the difference between regret and repentance. Because I'm sure Esau regretted his decision. But whether he was repentant of it is a different story. And the world says, I wish I hadn't done that because now I'm suffering. I got caught, I lost something, people know there's consequences. But godly repentance says, I have sinned against God and I want to turn back to him. There's a difference between the two. A big difference between regret and repentance. And so sometimes we are deceived and we're thinking, but am I get rechemaak met die Here? But maybe what you did was just give your regret to him. But you're not changing your life. Because repentance talks about going in a different direction. So we're just bringing our regrets over and over. But we're actually not changing our heart. There's no fruits of repentance. There's no evidence that I'm doing it differently. I'm just sorrowful for what I lost. And be careful of that. Judas regretted, Peter repented. That's the difference between the two. Judas' sorrow drove him away from the Lord. Peter's sorrow brought him back to the Lord. That's the difference between the two. And this is one of the greatest ways the enemy disarms believers. He convinces them, okay, no, I'm going to do that one. But repentance says, I may have fallen, but I'm coming back. And don't be limited by what happened to you. We all have regrets, but may regrets actually go into repentance. Don't be limited by what happened to you. Okay? Yes, it's okay to have regrets of things you've done in your life, but there's grace. And that grace, the access to that grace is repentance. Okay? So just image one quickly, just in a recap of the strategies. He uses offense like Cain. He uses comparison like Saul. He uses appetite and temporary gratification like Esau. He uses shame and condemnation. He uses familiarity. He uses distraction. He uses comfort. Comfort disarms you as a weapon of God. When you become too lazy for things, oh, moet ek nou weer opstaan om te bid? Is dit weer kerk vandag? Once you're operating that, you are disarmed as a threat. Doesn't need to get you to stop believing in God. If it just gets you to be lazy, that's fine enough. Okay? Stevie, image two. But what does a dangerous Christian look like? A dangerous Christian isn't perfect. They surrendered, they repent quickly, they forgive, they pursue intimacy with God, they listen to the Holy Spirit, they obey, they use their gifts, they cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, they refuse to let offense become bitterness, refuse to let failure become identity, refuse to let comfort become complacency, refuse to let familiarity kill the faith. That's when you are danger to Satan. And I'll say this again, there's grace. There's grace for this. You don't get it all at once. This is your journey. This is the beauty of the journey that we walk. That the grace of the Lord pushes us, nudges us into the more and the greater weapon we become for the kingdom of God. And so maybe this morning you're here and you've been disarmed. Maybe you're still coming to church, but the fire isn't what it used to be. Maybe you still pray, but there's no hunger in your prayer. Maybe you still worship, but you're just going through the motions. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've become bitter. Maybe you've become comfortable, distracted, familiar, or even compromised. Maybe you allowed your past to tell you what your future can be. But this morning the Lord sent me here to reignite you, to set you ablaze again, for you to understand and to take up the call to be this weapon of mass destruction that you are. You are that. God is calling you back to life. To the abundant life. He's calling you to become dangerous again. This is the one place where it's okay to be dangerous. It's in the Lord and for the Lord. You scare Satan when you think like this. You scare him. You're scared at the potential of what you can do. If you can take one drug addict, if God can take a drug addict, and allow me to die unto myself and to live in intimacy with him, and he turned my life to what it is today. That with my wife we lead this congregation. A drug addict is now leading a congregation. I want you to just absorb that. That's how dangerous you are. I'm not saying that you're a drug addict. If you are, come see me later. But you are dangerous. Look to the person next to you. Say, he's gevaarlijk. You are dangerous. Right? Ik praat hier van jouw kousen niet. Hij is ook dangerous. So the question isn't whether God has something more for you. The question is whether you're willing to surrender to receive it. Are you willing to surrender to receive it? You have a weapon, do you know how to use it? And so I want to close this morning and I want to encourage you, man. We want to pray with you. We want to set you ablaze this morning. If you need a fresh indwelling of the Holy Spirit, let us lay hands on you and pray for you for a baptism of fire this morning. So that you can go and be that danger that you are meant to be. That God has called you to when he knitted you in your mother's womb. There was already plans laid out for you. He wants you to return to that this morning.